Well, hey, everyone, I'm Pastor Judd Wilhite, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, Central's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope you enjoy this message. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Go Lions! No? Maybe? Okay. Anyway, just sorry, 49ers fans, but you know, the Lions always get the sympathy vote when it's been like 30-something years since you ever won a playoff game. So anyway, good luck to all of you. God bless you. It doesn't matter to me anyway. Okay, moving on. Hope you had a good week. I imagine this week was like my week. You had some great moments, and then you had some frustrating moments. One of my frustrating moments happened when it was raining earlier in the week. It was at night, and I looked over, and the trash was overflowing. I'm like, I got to take the trash out. And so I grab the trash. I run outside while it's raining. I run down the side of our house, put the trash in the trash bin, run back down the side of our house, come in the back door, walk around in the kitchen and stuff. And then I go up the stairs. I walk around upstairs, walk into our bedroom and all of that. And then I finally looked down. I did all of this before I looked down and realized I had tracked mud all through our entire house. I mean, everywhere. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And it's like mud here, mud there. And I'm like, I start looking down, go back down the stairs. There's like mud on every stair. You know, it's crazy. All through the kitchen. I'm like, geez. You know, then I get down there and I start trying to clean it and I get a whiff of it. That ain't mud. That's Stella right there. That's my little dog leaving us a gift. And I have spread it all over the house. And now I'm down on my hands and knees scrubbing this stuff forever, trying to get it up as I move back and retrace all of my steps. And so I got to tell you, in that moment, I did not feel blessed. Right? I felt like this stinks. This is no good. And this is just life. Like, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, real trouble, not just stepping in the poo. But sometimes you step in the symbolic poo. Come on, somebody. And sometimes you don't even know it, but you're tracking it all over the house, and you're having to clean it and deal with it and face it. And it's easy to start feeling alone. It's easy to feel like God isn't moving. It's easy to wonder where he is in your life. It's easy to feel like you're just kind of out there struggling with your family or struggling as a parent or trying to navigate things on your own with work or money or kids. And if that's where you're at today, I have some good news for you, because all of that mess that comes into all of our lives can actually be an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to prove ourselves faithful even in the hard situation. And when you prove yourself faithful with little, you are entrusted with more. Okay? When you prove yourself faithful with little, you're trusted with more. So the good news today is, even when it's messy, God can move in the mess, right? Even when it's messy, God can show up, because he's good and he's kind and he's generous and he loves you and he has a vision for your life and a purpose for your life. He's created you and empowered you and forgiven you in Jesus Christ and brought you this far, and he can see you all the way. So even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it's challenging, I just want you to remember God is in it with you. And Jesus tells us story in Matthew chapter 25 that reminds us of all of this. So let me just set it up. Jesus was a master storyteller. We call many of his stories parables. The word parable literally means to throw alongside. And so Jesus would tell a story, and the whole point of the story is something that he's throwing alongside the story so we get the principle, right? So he tells a story about a master who has three servants. Implication as you're reading the story is the master's God and we are the servants, right? But the master has three servants. The master of the property gives to one servant, gives five bags of money. To another servant, he gives two bags of money. And to another servant, he gives one bag of money. And the idea is the master was going to go away, and his servants were entrusted with these resources to take them and to invest them on his behalf, and to see them profit. And typically in that culture, it could have been that the servants may have even shared in the profits that they earned. So the master's going away, he gives the money to the servants. Now, the first thing that would have hit people's minds when they heard Jesus tell this story is that the master left them with a ton of money. One bag of money, scholars say, was about the equivalent of 20 years' wages. Dang. So the master's like, here's a lifetime of money. And to one person, he gave five bags of money. And to another person, two. And to another person, one. You say, why didn't the master give everybody the same amount of money? I don't know. Life's not fair. I mean, it's easy to look around and be like, well, God, if you'd have given me five bags, I would have made some stuff with that. But you only gave me like two coins. But I think the principle is whatever the master gives you, the master gives you. And if you manage it well, then that pleases him and leads to even more for you in your life. So the master goes away. These guys work hard. And when he finally comes back, the guy that had five bags has invested it well, and now he has 10 bags of money. And then the guy who has two bags, he's invested it well, and now he has four bags of money. And then there's the other guy, the third servant. He doesn't invest anything. And when the master gets back, he has the one bag that the master gave him. Very different reaction for him. But for the two guys that invested what the master gave him, we see this. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus kind of breaks it down this way. When I get to the red word here, just say it real loud here with me, but it says, the master said to these two servants, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Now that's kind of amazing. Like small amount, it's like a lifetime worth of wages. But when you think about it, to the master and even more to God, every amount is a small amount. Come on, somebody. You know, it's like, yeah, so you handled a few million, handled this small amount. But then he says, so now I will give you many, what? More responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. So the master's thrilled. And I don't think it's really about just making profit. He's thrilled that they've proven themselves faithful and now they can handle even more. Listen, some of you right now, you're praying for God to bless you with more in your life. You're praying for more opportunity, more influence, more work options, more job stuff, you know, more income, whatever. You're praying that God will bring more into your life. But maybe instead of just focusing on more, we'd all be well served to focus on being faithful with the little we currently have. Because if you're faithful with the little, you position yourself to receive more and manage more. And the truth is, more is a blessing, but more is also a burden. Come on, somebody. What I mean is every blessing comes with a burden, right? Like some of you are praying for family. You want a big family. You want like five kids and you want grandkids and you want all the things. And that is all a blessing. But let me tell you, all the people with big families will tell you that comes with a burden. Drama, money, all kinds of stuff, right? There's a burden that comes with that. Some of you are praying you find your spouse and get married and it'll be awesome. And, you know, you'll be all of a sudden like running through the fields to the sound of music. Everything will be great. But you know, like that blessing comes with a burden, right? Don't laugh too loud if you're sitting right next to your spouse. But every blessing comes with a burden. Some of you right now are praying that God will open up a door, give you a different job, a better job, more income, more impact. But you know, most of the time, a better job, more money also comes with more responsibility and more pressure. The blessing comes with a burden. And some of us, if we're honest, we're praying that God will bless us, but we're not ready for the blessing. In fact, sometimes we ask God, God, give me more, give me more. And by his grace, God looks at us and he's like, oh no, you can't even manage the little you got right now. Why would I give you more? It will just bury you, right? So we got to prove ourselves faithful with the little so that we can then be entrusted with more. I want to talk about how we can do that, because I think in Jesus' story, let me set it up a couple things. First of all, in Jesus' story, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not just about investing money. It's not like, oh man, this is about how we should invest in the stock market. No, no. The principle, Jesus says, that this story is what the kingdom of God is like. In other words, This is what it's like in my family, is what Jesus is saying. And so in my family, he's saying, people are entrusted with certain gifts, talents, abilities. You have a lifetime of opportunities. I have a lifetime of opportunities. Some people live 20 years. Some people live 50 years. Some people live 100 years, right? It's not fair. Some people are given one bag. Some people got two bags. Some people got five bags. Some people just have so many bags, they don't even know how many there are, right? It's not fair. But fairness never comes up in Jesus' story, right? It's the master's prerogative to do whatever he wants with what is his. And life and time and energy and the whole universe is his. And so he gives us what we get. But what we start with is not how we have to end up. Come on, somebody. What God gives us is what we can begin to leverage. And through our faithfulness, we can grow and serve and show that we can be entrusted with more. That's the principle of the story. You use well what little you have, you show you can be entrusted with more. So here's a couple thoughts to help us do that. One is to believe that God is generous. Believe that God is a generous God. What you believe about God has huge implications in your life. Sometimes we can get a scarcity mentality about God. I mean, sometimes we can get a scarcity mentality about a lot of things in our lives. Lori said to me a couple weeks ago, she opened the freezer, and I got all these coffee beans in the freezer because I order online. I don't want to order all the time, you know, so I kind of like bulk up. Anybody bulk up when you do your, you Costco people know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I got some coffee, right? Like I get it stored in the freezer. It's good for a long time there. And she's like, what is all this coffee? I'm like, come on, Lori, I don't want to run out. She says, you have a scarcity mentality, Judd Wilhite. You have a scarcity mentality when it comes to coffee. And I guess I do. But look, you can have a scarcity mentality when it comes to God. And you can start to think that there's not enough. In fact, that's what happened with the servant that's given one bag. Just given one bag. But instead of being faithful with that bag, he buries it. And here's why. Here's what it says. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus' story, beginning of verse 24. The guy says to his master, Master, I knew you were a what? A harsh man, he says. Harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. He says, look, here's your money back. And so this individual had a certain perspective of the master. That word harsh can mean severe, stern, violent, vehement, grievous, painful, grating to the mind, stubborn, repulsive, offensive. That was this dude's view of his master. So yeah, he buried it in the ground, right? He's scared to death of what would happen if he lost it. But the master comes, and if the master's a picture of who God is in our life, then it reminds us how you see God affects how you live your life. If you see God as harsh, severe, vengeful, stubborn, vehement, then that's going to affect how you live your life and how you leverage your resources. But if you see God as good, kind, generous, overflowing, gracious, then that's going to affect how you live your life, right? Like your perspective, how you live your life is going to be shifted and altered based on what you think about God. I mean, what we believe about God affects what we receive from God. So here's a thought. If we put it on a slide, like there's one way of looking at life, like the servant with one bag kind of looked at his master. It's how we often look at God and things. It's what we might call a scarcity mentality, which says, hey, look, there's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough energy. There's not enough to go around. And so I got to fight for what's mine. I got to scrap for what's mine. I got to do whatever I can to get it, keep it, protect it. It's mine. Okay. And then I got to hide what's mine. You know, I got to make sure nobody else gets it. Nobody else affects it. Nobody else can touch it. I got to hide it. I got to bury it deep in the ground. And I basically live fearful. Now you can do this with money, but you can also do this with your gifts and your talents. Some of you, you're hiding what God has given you, some of the talents he's given you, some of the skills he's put in your life, some of the difference you can make in somebody else's life. You're burying that. You're living a fearful life. What will they think? What if I get criticized? What if I, you know, what if people don't accept me? What if I'm not successful? But all of those are secondary questions Because when you believe God is good and gifted you and empowered you, then that's gonna change how you live. In fact, an abundance mindset that believes God is good and generous, that's a mindset that the first two servants had. They were willing to take what was given to them and leverage it and put it out there to see it used for the master's purposes. They believe there's more than enough. In other words, the master has plenty of resources and he's entrusted these to me, and so I'm gonna leverage them. In fact, the master comes and says, 20 years' wages, it's a small amount. 100 years' wages is what he gave one guy. It's a small amount. Now you can be entrusted with even more. So I can share what I've been given, my time, my talents, my resources with other people for the glory of God. I can leverage what he's put in my hand. And my main concern is to just be faithful with the little that he's given me. And so my question for myself and for you is, do you have a scarcity mentality when it comes to God and his gifting and his provision in your life? Or do you have an abundance mentality? Look, if you think God is harsh, limited, mean, that's gonna affect how you live your life. If you think God is good, generous, kind, that's gonna affect how you live your life. What you believe about God starts to affect what you receive from God. And so I would suggest, like don't let your situation tell you what to believe about God, because sometimes it's gonna stink. Sometimes you're gonna step in it. Instead, let God and his word tell you what to believe about your situation. Right? And when you lean into God and his word, this is what you realize, that God is good even when life is hard. Come on, somebody, that God is near even when you feel alone, that God is working even when it feels like nothing is changing. Like, you lean into God's word, you realize God's protecting even when you may be under attack. You realize that God's providing even when things may feel scarce. You realize that God is moving and working even when you can't see it, that he loves to make a way when there is no way, that he's not finished doing a work in your life and my life. That he's good. And when you believe God is generous, that positions you then to live in a unique way so that you're faithful with little and you'll receive even more. God has it all. He owns everything. The second thought is simply this: not only believe God is generous, but unlock your reward. Unlock your reward. So I saw this post on social media, thought it was pretty funny. This guy had worked at McDonald's for a long time, and he says, I worked at McDonald's for 2.5 years and put 11 nuggets in almost every 10 piece I made. Come on, somebody. 11 nuggets. I mean, this went viral. He was like king of the internet for a couple days. He got like 1 million likes. People were crazy. And one article even called him the Robin Hood of nugs. And 11 nuggets in every 10 piece. There's something amazing about being surprised by a little more, right? Getting more than you expected. And I think when you read the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, that's the emotional response we're supposed to have about God. The emotional response is, look how generous the master is to give so much to his servants, his people, and then to trust them so much to leverage them for his interests. And then when they come back and they've done well, the guy who had 5 did well. The guy who had 2 did well. He celebrates them. They throw a party. The master loves to bless his servants. He loves to give you 11 nuggets when you only thought you were going to get 10. And you see it all through the Bible. You know, the word bless is actually mentioned the most in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. More than any other book in the Bible, Genesis. And I think it's because, in part, God is introducing himself in the book of Genesis as the God who blesses and the God who loves to bless his people. I believe God wants to bless his people. He's a generous God. He's a good God. And all through the Bible, you see that his heart is to take care of and bless and protect and watch over his people. And so there's a tremendous reward held out to us as we leverage the life that God has given us for the master's purposes. And as we do it, God will give us more and more as we're faithful in the little. Matthew chapter 25, verse 29, Jesus sort of sums it up. So he's told the story. This is where we get the idea of a parable. Now he's going to throw alongside the principle. Okay, so this is the principle that goes with the story. Sometimes Jesus doesn't always give you the principle, and so you read a parable and you're like, what does that mean? And then you read like five commentators and you realize, we don't really know. You know, like we're all trying to figure this out. But when it comes to this parable, Jesus actually tells us this is what it means, okay? Here's what he says. To those who what? Use well what they are given, even more will be given. Now, I don't think this is just about like money or bags of silver. I think this is about your whole life. You use what you are given. Jesus says, even more will be given to you. You use it for your master's purposes. You use it to advance God's kingdom. He says, they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Dang. Where's the compassion in that? I don't know. And that's what happens in the story. This guy has one bag. The master's given it to him. He's terrified of the master. He thinks he's harsh. He has a scarcity mentality, so he buries it in the ground. At least he won't lose it. And then the master gets back. He gives him the one bag. And you know what the master says? And this would have surprised Jesus' original hearers. The master says, you are a wicked and lazy servant. And then he says, take the one bag and give it to the man who has now 10. In other words, even those who have little will have the little they have taken away if they don't use it, and it will be given to one who already has much. He already had 10 bags. Come on, man, that's not fair. That's a lot of nuggets. But God says, here, you get another one. You manage those 10 well, I can give you 11. And then the text says of this individual in the story, it says, take his bag away, give it to the one with 10. And he says, he'll be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Great. It's like 49ers fans later on today. Or maybe Lions fans, I don't know. Sorry, I digress. Chiefs fans for sure. Anyway, like a just kidding. Can't help myself. But that whole phrase of like the outer darkness, it's biblical language for being like separated from God. And so in the story, like the guy who does nothing gets nothing and is sort of separated. The people that already have a bunch because they've managed what they have well get even more. And Jesus says, that's kind of the point. So there's this cycle that works in our lives. I think it just looks like this. I'll bring it up here on this slide. And it's real simple, but it just says, look, God blesses me with time, talents, gifts, money, stuff. You may not feel like much, but whatever you have, you've been blessed with by a loving God. God blesses you in your life. And a lot of people just stop right there. Even a lot of followers of Jesus actually stop right there. Hey, man, I'm blessed. It's like game over, man. I'm blessed and we're done. No. You're blessed. So what's the point? There's a step two here. The second step is you're willing to take risks with what God has blessed you with. Financial risks to be generous back to him. Personal risks to use your gifts to serve others. Risks relationally to share your faith with a family member or a loved one. Risks with an individual that you're feel like the God Spirit is leading you to talk to, but you don't want to have that conversation. You're willing to take risks to forgive, risks to leverage your gifts, risks to maybe lead a Bible study or maybe, you know, work in a specific way towards the good of someone else that you feel led to do. You're willing to risk what you've been blessed with. But here's what you find. God blesses me, but if I bless others, I receive more. I receive more. Now, it may not be more money. It may be more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that money can't buy, right? All the things we actually want. But the simple process is just, hey, God blesses me. And then if I don't stop there, and if I get intentional about blessing others, then I'm showing myself faithful to then position myself to be entrusted with even more. God's blessing in our lives are not a cul-de-sac. God's blessing, in other words, they're not just intended to kind of go to us and stop. God's blessings in our lives are supposed to be a bridge to other people. God's blessings in our lives are supposed to be a bridge that helps others, and in doing so, it also helps us. Now, we've been talking about money and finance, and Jesus' story here, I don't think it's just about money. Bags of silver are involved in the story, but I think it's about our whole lives and how we manage our whole lives. But money is a part of how we manage our life. We've talked about 10-10-80, like trying to get to a place in our lives where we give the first 10 of what we earn back to God. We honor him. We're faithful with our little. And then we take 10% and we pay ourselves towards our future. We try to prepare ourselves for whatever eventuality may happen. And then we take 80% and we try to live on those expenses. And, you know, we've got our seminar, God's Way with Money. We've got resources, ways that we would love to help you begin to position yourself to be faithful with the little. Some of us are praying for more right now in our financial life, but first we got to learn how to be faithful with the little. Then we position ourselves to receive even more. And when you receive more, you realize you have the opportunity to bless more. You know, this last fall, I got convicted personally that I just needed to up my generosity game. Lori and I, we've tithed and given more than our tithe to the church for decades and given to a lot of causes, and we love to give, but I just felt convicted like I need to do even more. And so I went to my wife, Lori, and I'm like, Lori, I just feel like we need to give even more. And I don't know what your family is like or your marriage is like, but my wife's always like, yeah, right on, like, write the check, which is kind of unnerving because I realize, like, I'm the one holding us back. Anybody feel this? You know, like, just give it all away. I'm like, well, I'm not saying that. You know, anyway. I sat down with her. I'm like, you know, I think we need to do more. Of course, Lori's like, yeah, do it. Fire it up. Okay, great. So then I'm like, I want to give God something that costs me something. I want to feel it a little bit. This is just what I've been personally convicted about. So we gave a, for us, pretty significant financial gift. Wrote a check, gave it to the church. Now, I've talked about this in the fall. I had this experience that was amazing, and I'll share it with you. But first, like, just a quick aside about why I love to give to the local church. You know, I mean, there are a lot of amazing charities out there that do amazing work. I applaud those people who give to those places. I give to many of those organizations, and I love them. But my first gift always goes to the local church. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because Jesus used a local church to save my life. It's because he helped me overcome addiction and set me on a new path through the local church. And so the local church changed my life. And I believe as long as the church, the local church, preaches Jesus Christ and lifts up Jesus Christ and is honest about the Bible, about sin, about salvation, about hope, as long as the church teaches the truth of God's word, Jesus will continue to draw people to himself. And when we lift him up, the Bible says he'll draw all people to himself. He'll forgive them, restore them, heal them. He'll work in their life in a way they will never experience anywhere else. It's the church. And Jesus himself said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And so that's why I always give to the church first. So we gave this gift to the church. Now, I would never tell you about this because in telling you about it, I feel like I'm losing my reward. But this is what happened. I go to the mailbox and about a week later, get in the mail, and I get this letter from a friend of mine in Texas. He says, Judd, I just felt led, my wife and I, to write you a personal check because of all the years of faithfulness that you've shown serving Christ and his church. And I pulled this check out, and the check was to the penny, the exact amount as the check that we had given to the church. To the penny. Crazy, right? And I remember just being floored. Now, you may think, that's cool, man. I want to be a pastor. Look, that's never happened to me before, okay? Probably never happened again. Don't send me checks. I'm just saying, like I've never had that experience in 30 years as a pastor, but it was powerful for me. I'm standing on the street looking at this check like, what? So I sit down with Lori, and we're like, well, what do we do with it? I'm like, well, we can do whatever we want. Because we blessed other people, and God blessed us back. Ha! Right? But we talked about it, and we realized, like, we actually have an opportunity. We made the decision, and I don't think we had to. We just wanted to. We said, look, we're going to give this as well, the majority of this, as well to the church. And so we were able to do that. And after it was all over, I said, Lord, you realize that God gave us the double blessing. The double blessing means first he gave us more than we need so that we could share with others. And then he gave us even more than what we shared so that we could share more with others. We got the double blessing, right? Awesome. Awesome. Now, I have been walking to my mailbox a little differently all fall. Like, all right, God, I'm ready, baby. Bring it on, man. I'm your guy. Do you see what I did? No, I'm kidding. Truth is, like, God has never really blessed us like that financially from a financial gift, but God has blessed me in all the ways that matter even more. With love, with joy, with the peace of trusting him, with a settled awareness that because I'm honoring God financially, morally, in other ways in my life, I'm trying to put him first, not perfectly, because I'm there in the struggle honoring him, that God is going to take care of and watch over and bless and protect, and eventually, I hope, find us faithful and entrust us with even more. And so that is the stuff that even money can't buy. That's why throughout this teaching series, when I've talked about generosity, I said, look, I try to remove all barriers for people to go on the generosity journey with God. If you've never tithed, if you've never trusted God financially, here, all I would say to you is this at this point. Go back and watch some of the earlier messages that we did in this series. But I'm doing a 90-day challenge. I've done this over the years. And I've just said, look, if you want to give in a way that's trackable through the church, just go online or whatever, set up an account. Take our generosity challenge. You can click the link on our website or whatever. Then at the end of 90 days, if you're disappointed or frustrated, we'll give you your money back. It's not about your money. It's about your relationship with God. You can have all your money back. If you're disappointed, you're frustrated, you're in a bind, like no questions asked, no guilt. God does not need your money. But you and I need to be faithful giving it. And so the whole issue of tithing is really just an issue. The research shows the majority of followers of Jesus don't tithe, okay? So this is not an issue that has been tried and found wanting. This is actually, in fact, those who have tried it are the people that are always nodding when I talk about generosity. They're like, yeah, get them, Judd. Tell them, yeah. Can't outgive God. Yes, right? This is actually an issue that's not been tried and then been criticized by people who've never done it. Aren't you glad you came to church today? And you'll never get to experience the joy of it until you personally choose to take the risk, trust God, and go on the journey. And so I want to invite you to do that. Because listen, God has already been generous to you. He's given you talents, spiritual gifts, and resources. The Bible says you're his masterpiece. You are his child. You're his friend. You're called and set apart for greater things. There is favor on your life. You're designed to make a difference. There's people in the world that you are qualified and called by God to reach. And even though it may feel like all you have is a little, listen, don't bury it. Invest it. Don't hide it. Share it. Don't fall for the scarcity mindset. Because even though things may feel like a mess, God loves to move in the mess. He's a generous God. He's a good God. He can give you all you need and more. Even 20 years' wages is just a little bit to him. Be faithful with what you have. Honor him with what you have. Trust him with what you have. Take risks with what you have, your time, your talent, your resources. And maybe God will look over your life and my life and say, you've been faithful, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little. Now you'll be entrusted with even more responsibilities in your life. Maybe some of you are here today. Maybe you've never crossed that line of faith, and I would love to give you that opportunity just to reach out to God and ask him to move and work in your life. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for you. He loves you. And the Bible says if we believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and we confess with our tongue that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God, saved from the judgment of God, saved from the effects of our sin and our disobedience. And so through a simple act of faith, you can begin that spiritual journey and trust him in your life today. So I want to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, you can begin by just repeating this prayer after me to open your heart. Take that step towards God. Just say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just make eye contact with me, just to say before God, to say to me, you're going to trust him in your life. God bless you guys. Just reach out to him. Hands going up around the room. Thank you, guys. Let's reach out to him today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, we love you. I thank you for each person just reaching out to you today. I pray you fill them with your goodness, your love, your joy, your peace, your forgiveness. Guide them, protect them, go before them, behind them. God, for all of us as we follow you, we pray that you'll help us be faithful with our little, that we may receive even more responsibility from you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, there are a couple of things that I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe and review this podcast and connect with us on social media by following at Central Online. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Central. You can simply visit centralchurch.online/give and you can give a gift today. And thanks again for joining us on the Central Church Podcast.